This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is the Vic Police Glow Show, exclusive to Joy Podcast, presented by Vic Police LGBTI liaison officers and a range of Joy presenters. Now, here's the Glow Show.
This is the Glow Show. I'm Dylan Joel from Joy, and I'm joined by two special guests, someone who loves her pen but won't be clicking it throughout the show.
I just throw it now.
I can enforce the law too. We have Senior Constable Gabby Tyack, who is a Glow.
I am. Thanks for having me, Dylan. Again.
Which makes sense, the Glow being on the Glow Show.
Kind of does. Glow being originally gay and lesbian liaison officer, now LGBTI liaison officer.
Nice. Progress. But we also have if Gabby is our special guest, we have a very special guest in the form of Senior Constable Carly Botafur. But I will say that much more quickly throughout the show.
Excellent.
Botafur.
Very good.
Excellent. And you might be familiar to loyal listeners of The Glow Show.
I might be. I was on just recently because I got married to my colleague.
Nice.
Same sex
college.
Yes. So that's why it's a bit special.
Because that's legal now.
Yeah,
it is.
Legal as of this year. Very exciting.
And Carly and Clarissa
are
still married, just in case you're wondering.
Update.
Yeah.
Update. No longer on the market. But you're a part of an interesting unit of Victoria Police. You work in the bike patrol unit.
I do, yes. It is the only full-time bike patrol unit in the state. It's a very small unit. There's only about six of us. So,
where are the bikes located? How far can they go?
We cover all of Melbourne, the city of Melbourne, and Yarra.
Is that because it's much easier as we're becoming more on foot in the city and there's more public spaces rather than roads to ride around rather than drive around?
Yeah, I think as speed limits are coming down, more people are inclined to walk, take public transport, get on their bicycle, and it's a lot easier for us to get around and speak to people and get out there on a bicycle than being closed in a vehicle.
Does it mean there's no longer horses? Are bikes taking the job of horses?
They're still horses.
Yeah. They have a different role.
Yep. They have a different role.
Yeah, I mean, they're usually not out issuing tickets or anything like that. They're more crowd control. They're engaging with the community. They're a very visible presence, making people feel safe. They attend protests. So it's a very different role, whereas bike patrol is more about being able to whiz through traffic. I mean, if you're looking at traffic offences in vehicles, not bikes, they can whiz through the traffic and get to cars that are stuck in traffic, where if you're in a police car, in a highway patrol car, you couldn't do that. So you're never really safe if you're committing any offences in the city, because a bike can come up and speak to you where a car might not be able to get to you. Watch out.
Very true.
Were you hired based on your great policing or your great ability to ride a bike?
Or looking good in really bright colours.
Yeah. Yes.
Perhaps a combination of all three.
You're a triple threat.
Yeah.
Because you were saying that the bike squad is unique to the areas of inner city Melbourne. Something that is usually associated with inner city Melbourne is wearing all black and looking very cool and suave and having skinny jeans. You do not have skinny jeans.
No.
You have nice bike shorts and a very loud uniform.
Yes. I'm like a beacon on the roads. Can't miss me.
Very blue shirt, but then if you add on your delicious jacket, it's lime. It looks like you just fell over a highlighter and then just wore that.
Yep, I glow in the dark.
So you do glow in the dark.
Very handy.
Is it important for safety to be a part of the bike squad, that you are safe yourself?
Yeah, definitely. Especially as we're, you know, detecting traffic offences, drivers, cars, we have to speak to drivers. So we're having to pull people over. We need to stand out. We need to be bright and visible, and people need to know who we are. So sometimes the light blue shirt can be confused, especially on the bicycle, but there's no misunderstanding with the fluoros and the checks.
Blue.
Yeah.
What do you call that blue? Do you call it like a royal blue?
I think that is a royal blue, but the new uniform is actually a salute blue.
Salute blue. Yeah. I like that.
Mm. You got a new one?
Yes, there's actually a new jacket as well.
Wow.
Mm. Is that a bit of envy?
Jacket envy. Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit. Now, you look very Queensland, but that's where you're from in your shorts. And you're saying that it's a unique, not that I'm trying to recruit people to the bike squad, But it's a unique selling point to your squad that you get to wear shorts.
It is. It's very good in summer, not so good in the winter.
No.
Yes.
That means you just need to pedal more.
Yeah, that's true.
Bike use in Victoria and Melbourne, is it on the rise?
Well, I did get some numbers. I think daily we have about 50-odd thousand cars that come into the city and about 10,000 bikes.
Wow.
So percentages, that's quite good. I had a report on collisions.
Bike collisions?
Numbers, yeah. And in the 6 months leading up until February, there are about 485 collisions on our roads in the Melbourne and Yarra areas.
So that was vehicle collisions?
Total vehicles on the road. And of those 485, 187 were bicycles.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a big number.
Big numbers, yeah. So even at low speeds, which we have in a city, you know, lots of 40 zones now, we're still having quite a few collisions between bikes and...
So, Carly, does that include bicycles hitting pedestrians and not involving motor vehicle?
It would, yes. Although the majority of collisions with bicycles are actually with vehicles, and a lot with vehicles turning, unfortunately, or car dooring, which is a big issue in the city.
Very big.
Yeah.
A question that I would have, there's a lot of new bikes in the city that may not belong to anyone, but belong to everyone and belong to a company. Without using brands, the ride-sharing bikes, has that also had an effect with people just saying, that's a bike, I'm going to go ride it?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely more people on bikes, and a lot of those are tourists. I got some other numbers from City of Melbourne that we have somewhere around, I think it was 120,000 residents in Melbourne CBD. 800,000 people coming in for work, give or take, per day, and then 65,000 tourists.
Wow.
Which is, some big numbers, some from overseas, some from interstate, don't necessarily know how our road rules work, and they're, of course, jumping on some of these bikes and riding around. So, yeah, I guess everyone needs to be cautious and expect the unexpected in the city, definitely.
And I guess that explains why we have a dedicated bike patrol in Melbourne, because we do have so many people using bikes and so many people possibly not really knowing how to ride a bike or aware of the road rules.
Oh, yeah, or what to put on their head when they're riding the bike.
Yeah. It's very important in Australia.
Kind of important. And it needs to be done up. Otherwise, it's kind
just
of pointless.
A hat. Yeah.
It's not fashion. Yeah. But something that's very fashionable is to get things engraved. Tell me about engraving days.
Very true. So as part of the bike squad, we do a lot of community events, mainly focused at bike safety and taking care of your bike. So one of the things we do is the engraving days. We did one recently out at Melbourne Uni. It was Ride to Uni Day. It was a free event. People could come and get their bikes engraved. We engrave them with a driver's license number. So if you don't have a driver's license, great to do it with a member of your family's driver's license. And before that, you put a letter, which is the letter for the state. So V for Victoria, then your license number, or Q for Queensland, and then your license
number. Much better than putting your name, address, and PIN number.
Exactly, yeah. Right.
So people can steal your bike and also
and
your identity.
And then go to your house. Yeah. Yeah. So what happens is then the biggest problem that we have is that we find a lot of bikes. City of Melbourne, or, you know, the local council find a lot of bikes, police find a lot of bikes, they get handed in to us, and we just can't find owners because there's nothing identifying about the bike, or serial numbers scratched off or can't be read, or even if we look the serial number up, someone's reported the bike stolen, but they didn't know the serial number in the first place, so they haven't reported it to us. So by probably recording that information in the first instance, maybe taking some photos of your bike, so when you report it, you've got all the relevant information, we can record that on our database. When we find it, we can match the bike to you. But an alternative is to engrave it with your license number. If we find the bike, we'll look the driver's license number up, and we've got all the owner's details. We can get in contact with you.
So bike theft is an unfortunate reality of owning a bike.
Yeah.
Is there anything you can recommend to not having your bike being stolen? What to do?
Bike theft is a massive problem in the Melbourne area. It's almost one of our biggest offences. The first thing I would say is, I mean, obviously try to leave your bike somewhere that's well lit in an open kind of area. But the key thing is how you lock it. And I would recommend a D-lock. They're probably, or sometimes called a U-lock. They're the hardest to cut. A cable lock, especially, you know, if you're buying a, you know, you've spent thousands on your bike, or even $1,000, and then you buy a $5 lock, then it's going to go missing at some point. So protect your bike with something decent.
Because a lot of the time, I think people that steal bikes, they are just using them for a short period of time. They might sell them on, depending on how valuable a bike is, because they can be quite expensive. But, I mean, the fact that police and council are finding and locating so many bikes means that a lot of people are taking them and then discarding them.
Yeah.
So if you're not leaving anything identifying on them, and first of all, you're not locking them up properly, but if they're stolen and there's no way that we can find the owner, then your bike is gone. So it's a simple thing to first lock them up, but then if they are stolen, put something identifying on them, so when they are located, and highly likely they will be, we can find the owner.
Yeah, make sure you report it to us too. Lots of people don't. They think, oh, it was only a $500 bike, but you know, there's a good chance we come across it at some point, and if you haven't reported it, we can't get it back to you.
Well, there are hundreds of bikes sitting in lockup areas in below council buildings that there are no owners for them.
Yeah,
there are owners, but we don't know who they are.
Yeah, so exactly,
make sure you look after your bike.
Yeah.
Is there anything signifying or eye-catching about your bikes?
No.
They don't have sirens or anything on them, do they? Or flashing lights?
No, they don't. Actually, at one point, I think it was about 2010, I was doing a little research, they did bring in a red and blue flashing light, no sirens, but lights for the bicycles. But apparently they were quite heavy and took up a lot of battery, so they didn't last very long.
Yeah.
So, no, there's nothing particularly special about them. They're just standard mountain bikes.
And we do know that bicycle patrol in Victoria Police has been around a very long time.
Yeah, I was going to ask how long?
Well, from what I could see, somewhere
He's
around
well
the
prepared. Yeah. I'm very impressed.
Oh, it's very difficult to find information, I tell you. Somewhere around the late 1800s, we've been on bicycles. There are bicycle units everywhere. So there are bicycle units in rural areas, outer suburbs. They're just not full-time. They just do a shift here and there. It's just Melbourne that has the only full-time unit.
So we were having a bit of a laugh earlier because we were wondering, we couldn't figure out, first of all, how long motor vehicles have been on the road.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have any idea, Dylan? Because we don't.
I'm going to say at least 15 years.
But we're trying to think of it in the late 1800s when the first bicycle patrol was in Victoria Police. What was around then? I'm assuming there were motor vehicles.
Mm.
They would be very different from now and a lot less, but there would have been horse-drawn carts and all that sort of thing. It would have been a very different, and the roads would have been probably dirt.
Yeah.
I've got no idea. I'm making this up and I'm probably.
What about, do you think they might have been on penny farthings or like?
Possibly.
Yeah. I don't know.
Possibly.
Unicycles?
With mustaches. Yeah.
Imagine.
It's kind of cool.
So it would have been, and they wouldn't have had this delightfully bright uniform.
Fluoro. No, probably no helmet either.
And probably very few doorings.
Yeah,
going on.
I would say so.
You'd be pulling over horses.
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
That would be very interesting.
How would you get a horse to stop? You could definitely just gallop away. A car chase with it would be a horse chase.
Yeah.
Pursuit.
Oh, talking about...
Back to
something serious. Yeah. Safety is serious and very important.
Bike safety.
What tips do you have for our listeners?
As I said, with the collisions that occurred, most of them are to do with vehicles, turning vehicles and the car dooring. Car dooring, obviously, just be aware of your surroundings of, you know, if you see any taillights or heads in vehicles, then be wary of that. Leave yourself a bit of distance between you and the car, because coming into contact with a stationary object at, you know, 20 odd kilometres an hour is definitely going to hurt. You know, perhaps leave a meter or so or whatever is safe to do. And in terms of the turning vehicles, which is most of the collisions in Melbourne, it seems to be vehicles moving in the opposite direction. So perhaps a vehicle turning right into the path of a bicycle coming in the opposite direction. We have a lot of problems generally in the CBD with coming in and out of car parks and crossing over bike lanes. And I think people on bicycles see a nice big long green bike lane and just look straight ahead. You just really need to be aware of your surroundings, because remember as well that if a car is turning left and indicating that as a bicycle rider you need to stop and give way.
Mm-hmm.
And as a car driver, obviously you have the right of way, but just, you know, be reasonable and be wary and
be
make good
citizen.
Decisions. Yeah, exactly.
So both parties and pedestrians need have to be
exactly.
aware of what's around us for safety reasons. If we're crossing a road or going anywhere near a road, you have to be aware of your surroundings and what's coming and what's using the road.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
Making everyone safe.
Hmm. Yeah.
No matter what mode of transport you're using.
So, I mean, I guess bike riders have to obey the road rules.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes wearing helmets. Yes. Not using mobile phones.
Yes, that's a big one. And that's $476 fine at the moment, even for a bicycle rider. So,
is it the same as someone who is using it in a automobile?
Yes, yep, same fine. Correct.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yep,
yes. Does that include people listening to music whilst they're riding? Or do you have to be touching?
Yes, touching. So, if you can use it in that way without touching the device, then you're okay. So, it's in your back pocket, for example. Just don't get it out and turn it off or turn it on or ring someone or whatnot. If you're touching it, you need to pull over, same as a car.
Wow.
I'm surprised that it's not an offence to ride a bike while listening to music.
Well, it depends how loud your music is. There are a range of different offences about proper control and riding improperly, etc. Same as in a car. I mean, it needs to be reasonable and safe. If you can't hear anything that's going on around you, then it's going to be a problem, particularly for emergency services vehicles. If your music is so loud that you can't hear sirens coming through, then you're putting yourself at risk.
My nan always told me when I was riding my bike to have one earphone in, one earphone out.
Yeah, definitely. So I agree.
Listen to your 100%. Music or your podcast, like The Glow Show.
Yeah.
And also listen to what's happening in the world around you.
Maybe listen to this podcast as you're going for a ride, but not too loud.
No.
Actually, I tried these great new things when I was overseas last year, the bone conductors. Have you heard of these?
No.
Yeah, so it's like a speaker, for running or whatnot, but it sits on the bone just in front of your ear and transmits the sound that way. So you still have your full hearing, but you can. It's great.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very cool. Fallen off our chairs.
Yeah. With the name bone conductor, that sounds a lot more vicious.
Kind of sounds scary, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Very cool, though.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for that information.
No, that's okay. No
problem. It's all good, and we've had a great time on The Glow Show. Thank you very much to Senior Constable Gabby Tyack, who is a Glow, a part of the LGBTI Liaison Officer of Victoria Police, and our very special guest, Senior Constable Carly Botafer, who is a part of the Bike Squad.
Thanks,
Dylan.
And if you want to get involved with The Glow Show, you can always download our podcast, but you can message us via email, theglowshow@joy.org.au.
And always thanks to Andy, who does all the editing.
Andy does an amazing job.
Brilliant.
And also make sure to like and subscribe, maybe even rate and review
Please
the podcast.
Do.
Yes, a very successful podcast in the top 10
I know.
Recently. So
keep moving on up.
Moving on up. Thank you very much. I've been Dylan Joel with some amazing guests. This is The Glow Show on Joy.
You've been listening to The Vic Police Glow Show, exclusive to Joy Podcast, presented by Vic Police LGBTI liaison officers and a range of Joy presenters. Head to joy.org.au/The Glow Show to find more episodes or search Joy 94.9 Glow Show on iTunes. Subscribe so you never miss an episode. Rate and review if you like what you hear.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.